Welcome to the International Football Podcast. Today we are previewing the quarterfinal matchups. Do Uruguay have what it takes to stop the rampaging France? Can Belgium come through against Brazil? We give an alternative opinion about the prospects of England. And we discuss whether Russia can use the KGB to get past Croatia. Welcome back to another episode of the International Football Podcast. I'm Eamon, and I'm here with Tel. Hello, Tel.
Good evening, Eamon. How are you feeling? Round of 16 is finished. We're up to the quarterfinals.
Yes, it's getting pretty exciting, and we are here today to preview in the quarterfinals. So let's go through them. The first matchup, Tel, is Uruguay versus France.
Yeah, France actually had the first game. In the round of 16, that pretty amazing match against Argentina, finishing 4-3. Although I thought the scoreline flattered Argentina, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I thought, when France went up 4-2, I really thought they took the foot off the gas there and sort of, let Argentina back in right at the death. But to me, this was far and away France's best performance. I really thought they had moments in this where they showed exactly what they're capable of. The only other performance at the World Cup that looked anywhere near as good as France when they were playing well in this game was probably Spain in the game against Portugal. Apart from that, I thought this was the best performance in the World Cup. And if they can perform like that, no one will beat them. Having said that, they are up against Uruguay, and I think maybe Uruguay could be the one to knock them off.
Mm. And Uruguay, of course, beating Portugal in the second round, 2-1. Great performance by Edinson Cavani. Oh,
amazing.
Scoring two goals, of course.
Do we have an update on his fitness? At this stage, it's still doubtful, I think, whether he'll play.
The last I heard, he is doubtful. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he features. Managers try to keep these things secret until the game. But what a 1-2 he did. With Suarez
That was incredible. I mean, one side of the pitch to the other, Suarez took a couple of touches, so maybe strictly not a 1-2, but it was like from one side of the other to the other, and then Cavani just kept on running. He must have run 40 meters to meet that second half of the 1-2.
He sort of got it in with his shoulder come head.
Yeah, maybe his cheek's got a bit.
But I thought they looked really good, and they were good value for that win. I hear what you're saying in regards to Argentina. France were probably the better team. Argentina were 2-1 up at one stage, and
I didn't think they deserved to be 2-1 up, to be honest.
I was going for Argentina just because I'm not a big fan of the French football team, particularly with how Lucas Hernandez was against Australia.
Yeah, I think he was up to his old tricks again in this game.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the man can help himself, but apart from that, I think the French really showed their stuff in this.
I've got to mention that there were two great goals in this game. First, the Di Maria one from probably 35 metres out.
Yeah.
A great equaliser.
Yeah.
But then Pavard in the second half with that beautiful volley off the outside of his foot.
Sliced in a non-derogatory way. Like, it was beautifully curved.
Yeah.
He sliced it off his boot, but it was just curved into the corner.
Initially, I was a bigger fan of the Nacho volley against Portugal, but seeing this one again on the replay and seeing the way the ball was swerving in.
Yeah. There was some lovely footage of it where you see the ball basically leave his foot and travel through the air from behind him towards the goal. And you just see the defenders moving across the field of vision as well and it just swerves into the top corner. It was an amazing goal.
Yeah.
So I was going to say though, I mean, there were lots of lovely goals in this game, right? So I thought, obviously Di Maria and Pavard's were amazing goals. But the fourth goal from France, the Mbappe, that movement, not necessarily the goal itself, but the movement of the play from the goalie all the way down to be finished by Mbappe.
Yeah.
At such pace that where they just ripped Argentina to shreds. They didn't know what was hitting them.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
The Argentinian defense, as we mentioned in the last pod, leaves a lot to be desired, doesn't it? But Mbappe, wow, what a performance. And this speed of the man. I mean, watching him outrun Rojo, I mean, he was a few yards behind him, and within a couple of seconds, he was well ahead of them.
I think I actually don't describe it as running. I describe it as teleporting. Like, it was probably only the fourth best goal in the game, right? His first goal, where he somehow, he was in quite a crowded box, and the ball comes to him, and he somehow knocks it just a couple of meters to his left, and then because it repositions himself to take the shot and score.
Mm.
And honestly, I actually don't know how he moved from that one position to the other so quickly. But the speed of thought and then the speed of movement as well, from when he gets that ball, knocks it forward, bang, bang, goal, scores. The lad's 19.
Mm.
19. I think often with these young players who are built on pace, often they do come a cropper, you know, as they go on a few more years and the pace runs out a bit. And his speed of thought is also something to be amazed at, you know, like for a 19-year-old. He has been compared to Pelé because, you know, famously now he's the first teenager to score two goals in the knockout stage since Pelé did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he himself said, look, Pelé did win three World Cups and we're only in the quarterfinals, so maybe give me a bit more time. But
I think this could be a pretty tight affair. Actually, I think, they have France as clear favourites, about a 62% chance to win on 538. I'm thinking this is going to be closer to 50-50. Yeah, I think Uruguay will be very hard to beat.
Mm. Well, they finally conceded a goal. It's the first goal they conceded, not just at the World Cup, but since last November.
Yeah.
So they are pregnable. But I agree, this will be a very tight affair. I would not be surprised to see this going to penalties. To me, it will depend on whether Cavani is fit. If Cavani is fit, it really changes the odds.
I'm going to pick Uruguay.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's going to be tight. France have shown, you said they played well. They were playing Argentina, though.
They were, and that's who, absolutely. That is the caveat you have to put on that performance. Argentina, like I said, were abysmal. But France at their best, I just didn't think they were containable. Having said that, Uruguay are the only team that can contain them, so it will be I'm really looking forward to this game. I really want to see...
Tip?
Enjoy the game. My tip, enjoy the game. I think if it doesn't go to penalties, then I think it's, it's going to be 1-0 either way. Maybe I'll go France.
Okay.
Yeah. I want Uruguay to go through that. They're my dark horse.
Okay, let's move on to the next game.
Yeah, Brazil against Belgium.
Yes.
Brazil, the favourites for the competition, far and away. They are coming into form. They are starting to look a bit more ominous.
Yeah.
How they went about this game. So they beat Mexico 2-0. Of course, it was round of 16, Brazil and Mexico. Had to win that. How did you see this game?
What I found from this game was that Brazil have been very tight at the back.
Mm.
They've been the one big team that has been very tight at the back. And, you know, they're not giving up many chances.
No.
And Mexico came out and tried to do what they did against Germany at the start of this game for the first 20 minutes or so.
Mm.
And then Brazil started to dominate. And Mexico then seemed to switch into a defensive mode. Their keeper made a number of good saves. Mm, I think he's probably been my keeper of the tournament.
He has made quite substantially, by a substantial margin, the highest number of saves at the World Cup.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. 25 saves.
Yeah. He pulled off a number of saves in a number of games. Of course, we had another incident with Neymar where it was just... Having talked about him in the last pod, he's just disgusting, isn't he?
Yeah, Neymar. Dude, come on. I told you last time, stop the fucking dicking around, will you?
Yeah.
Just play football.
We've had memes with him rolling around all over the world, and then we see this incident where the Mexican player put his foot. I mean, he was probably being a little bit naughty, putting his studs on him as he's picking out the ball. But Neymar clearly, completely fakes the injury to try to get him sent off. And I would just like to see a straight red for that behaviour. Well, end it. I mean, end his World Cup.
Yeah.
It would be beautiful.
I'd love to know what our Brazilian listeners think about this. You know, are they happy with Neymar when he's rolling around like that? Because that is just...
I don't think... people tend to be very... you know, bias in these situations.
Like, yeah.
So, you know,
how can you justify that? How can you? What good can you? I mean, sure. Like, there's a lot of gamesmanship in the game, but the rolling around, you're just embarrassing me. Come on.
Mm. So, anyway, Brazil finally got a goal through Neymar.
Mm.
It was actually really well worked by Willian, where he's put the ball forward for himself and crossed it in, and he had a similar turn of pace, probably not quite as much as Mbappe, but he kicked the ball ahead of himself and then got the cross in. In the end, they got another, finished 2-0, and Brazil, they're dominating their games, and as I said earlier, they're defensively solid. So they're clear favourites for the tournament at this stage. They'll be facing Belgium.
What a game this was, Belgium against Japan.
Belgium 3, Japan 2.
As you said in the last pod, you're calling out Japan and their, well, the opposite of what Neymar does, you know, the very fair way they play football, you know, the lovely technique on the ball, but not rolling around, not doing all the diving, not doing all that sort of stuff.
Not crowding around the referee and looking to give yellow cards to the opposition. So Japan went 2-0 up in this game.
Yes.
After half time, it was nil all at half time. They went
somewhat against the run of play. But, you know, they got the first one and then they got the second one.
Yeah, and they kept attacking. Whoa.
Yeah. This could really, the upset could be on.
Yeah, so Inui scored the second goal. He's second of the tournament. I had him in my fantasy team from the start because I noticed he'd scored a couple of goals in the friendly, the last friendly. And well,
he was really cheap, so I had him in my team as well and took him out for this one.
He plays in Spain and, you know, he's getting his game.
He's done his future employment prospects no harm, has he? He's had a standout World Cup.
They left Honda on the bench.
I was about to ask you about that.
So he wasn't able to have another miraculous impact, but Belgium came back.
He did take a free kick that came very close to going in. That would have given them the lead back because, by then Belgium had equalised. They'd scored two quick goals.
I saw that free kick. It was
good.
It was brilliant.
Do you think Vertonghen's header that he was trying to get it into the back of the net?
No, I don't think so. I think it was a cross.
I was thinking that as well. When I first saw it, I was looking at, you know, he's just putting it into the danger area. But then there was one angle where you could see he heads it, and then he's just looking. It's kind of looping up really high up in the air, and he's looking towards the goal. He's not looking towards players running in. So he must have known after he's hit it that it's going towards the goal. And it just dropped in, and the Japanese players, I thought they fairly shit themselves at that point. Martinez made a couple of substitutes, brought on Fellaini and Chadli.
They both scored.
And then they ended up both scoring. It was like a masterstroke from Martinez. I mean, who would have thought it?
Well, as I said, I don't think he's that bad a coach. I think he's got a bad rap in England because of the last season at Everton, but he was really good at Everton for a while. But was it Alderweireld or Vertonghen who got skinned for the first Japanese goal?
So I wasn't sure exactly what happened there with Vertonghen. It wasn't so much that he got skinned for it. It was more that
it was a pass through.
The pass went through past him. And it was like he reached his foot out, but he didn't make it. So I don't know what happened to him there.
That was a beautiful pass, and that was by Shibasaki, who I gave a hard time in the last pod. His passing in the first game was really poor. But Belgium proved too much. They went and got the win. I think this is one way Japan are not good. They're not good at defending leads, and their goalkeeper is poor, Kawashima. He's a poor keeper. I thought for both the Vertonghen goal and the Fellaini goal, he was at fault.
Yeah.
Like, his attempt to save Fellaini's header was really poor. Like, it was pretty much in the middle of the goal.
He did make a couple of good saves, though, like from other headers and, you know, maybe...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I tend to agree with you. He didn't cover himself in glory. But
I've never liked him. He's always a bit eccentric.
Yeah, so 3-2 for Belgium then, right at the death with that Chadli goal.
Yeah,
lovely.
Well-worked goal. Yeah. Team goal.
Yeah. Lovely counter-attack from Lukaku to set it up.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was really
good. That
was
worth an assist. Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you.
So Lukaku's playing really well.
He didn't score himself in this game, but that moment there was probably worth it all.
So how do you think they'll fare, Belgium against Brazil?
I'd be picking Brazil. So yeah, I think Brazil will win. I think Brazil will. They are deserved favourites for this. Belgium, they have some amazing, wonderful players, but they just seem to be conceding too many goals. And I'm just thinking that coming up against Brazil, will they be able to work attacking magic into it against the Brazilian team that is now really starting to come into form?
And I think Belgium, they lose their nerve a little bit against the top teams, like they did against Argentina in the last World Cup. Oh, I'd just love to see them take the game to Brazil and really go for it.
Mm.
Like, let's hope they don't just sort of let Brazil have the ball. I'd like to see Belgium win.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be an amazing result if they did. You could potentially have... can you imagine if the last four were, you know, say Uruguay, Belgium, or it can't be Russia and Croatia, but, you know... From this half, like it would just be astounding, this World Cup and all the shocks that it's throwing up at the moment.
Okay, so let's move on to the next match,
which
is Sweden versus England.
Yeah. So Sweden and Switzerland. I tipped Switzerland to get through that. I can't remember.
I did too, but we both said it was going to be a close.
Yeah,
it was a close one to call.
Sweden just seemed to be getting better and better.
So I was really surprised. Watching this game, Sweden deserved to win. They had the vast majority of the chances.
Yeah.
And they've turned
from an amazingly defensive team into this...
And so it's incredible.
Well, ultra-attacking, but, you know...
Yeah, it's incredible because the bookies have them at 5-1 to beat England.
Do they? And it might be worth a flutter.
Yeah, I've already bet on them. But Sweden, in their last two matches, have been brilliant. Going forward, they have a great team spirit.
Mm.
And, look, I think they'll be very hard to beat unless something happens early, like a red card or a goal. In that game against Switzerland, they should have scored 4 or 5.
So Sweden have now knocked out... Well, they qualified ahead of Holland, Netherlands. They knocked Italy out in the playoffs. They came out of the Germany group. Knocked off probably the best Switzerland team ever. I don't know. I mean, they might have been a better Swiss team in the 1950s or something.
No, well, it's not... The highest ever ranking in the ELO rankings. Mm. They are kind of their golden generation.
Yeah. So, I mean, this Sweden team just keeps on doing it.
And that Swiss team play football as well. Like they keep the ball.
Very good team. Yeah.
Sweden are not known for that, but Sweden were having all the chances. It was funny to watch.
Mm.
And it was a really entertaining game. And then you had the England-Colombia game.
Oh, yeah.
Which I watched, got up for that.
Yeah.
It was a really dire football.
Was
so it was really attritional stuff. Yeah, so Colombia, I think, pretty much shot themselves in the foot in this game. So they set out to basically try to cheat their way to victory by fouling, very similar to what Panama did, right? So constantly fouling, constantly crowding around the referee and harassing him over every little decision. They were nearly all guilty of it. I couldn't believe that Cuadrado, he got booked near the end of the game. And I was like, how has he not been booked? He was one of the worst. Mm.
I think there was quite a bit of the old dirty stuff there from the Colombians during the game. Having said that, I don't think the English were completely blameless. I think I think the penalty that they got was very cleverly won by Harry Kane. He grabbed the defender, Carlos Sanchez, who got sent off in the first game, grabbed the defender just as he was running past him and then took his hands away, and it looked like Sanchez was pulling him down, but he had actually pulled Sanchez into him, so there was nothing for him to do except pull Kane. And of course he fell on the ground, won the penalty.
At that point, Colombia had been doing that kind of thing so much that you could never blame the referee for giving that. I mean, I thought it was a penalty.
Yeah.
And that was basically based on how they'd been behaving.
I thought it was... I was surprised after it went to VAR. Well, you're not going to overturn it because of a clear and obvious error or whatever. He was definitely fouled. All I'm saying is he's he instigated it. Clever.
But the thing was, England were...
Did you see the average minutes?
Average at best.
So, like, it took over 3 minutes before he took the penalty.
Yeah, I know. I was watching it.
Did you see what they were doing to the penalty spot?
Oh, yeah. I saw Cuadrado, like, try to stamp it and kick up the dirt. Yeah,
it was amazing.
I was watching this and I was like, how is this allowed?
Yeah.
But the crazy thing was, England were very average. They were very, very similar to England teams of old, where they were just not playing. They were playing a horribly slow tempo, and they were making no chances.
Yeah.
The only game
was won for the entire 120 minutes. So 1.1.
Yeah, it was. That's what I'm saying. It was really dire watching, viewing. Yeah, they looked. The only time they looked like threatening was on a corner, had a few corners, but
yeah. Well, they're set piece maestros at this World Cup.
In the end, Colombia finally got to their senses after about 70 minutes and started actually attacking.
Yes.
And
Colombia minus their best player, James Rodriguez, who ended up not being able to play.
Yeah. So, and they ended up getting that equaliser. I didn't think it was going to happen. But Jerry Mina, he's just really good at heading the ball into goals. Yeah, in the end, I was glad that Colombia's tactics took them out because they were just cheaters,
and
a lot of the South American teams are.
Yeah, and unnecessarily. They were the better football team. I don't know why they resorted to the gamesmanship. Yeah, they kind of lost their heads. Once they started playing, they looked like they showed they were the better team in extra time. Should have won it. They didn't. Went to penalties. And for once in 6, 7, 8 penalty shootouts, England somehow came through it. Well, I say England. I mean Tottenham came through it.
There's been a lot of talk in the English media about how this is no coincidence and all this. And that England... Because they have such a great manager, they've been practicing penalties, and he knows.
That's revelatory.
Yeah, he knows from experience because he missed one.
Yeah,
famously,
they didn't practice penalties back then, you know. So, like,
yeah, So they think anyway that it was no coincidence. It was just pure skill that got them there.
Well, they had prepared. Like Pickford was saying afterwards, that all of the Colombian players except for Falcao went the way he expected them to. Having said that, he only got his hand to one of them. It was a really good save. Like one of the Colombians missed a penalty. He hit the post.
Yeah.
Pickford had gone the right direction, but if it had been, you know, a couple of centimetres lower, it was in the top of the net.
In fact, I think he, despite all the praise for him after this game, I think he's a bit of a weakness. And I'm an Everton fan. Like, they haven't kept a clean sheet yet this World Cup.
England.
Despite playing two of the weakest sides.
Yeah, they conceded against both Tunisia and Panama. Yeah.
And they let that goal in with an injury time. And I don't know, he's barely been tested. I think he's conceded 4 goals now in something like 9 or 10 shots on target. So he's got to, I think Sweden should be testing him.
That's almost as bad as
De Gea. So with this game, I think it'll be tight.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Sweden come out and attack like they have in the last 2 games.
You know, it could be a rematch of the 1958 World Cup, Brazil-Sweden.
In the final.
They both come through their respective halves.
Evil versus good. It'd be great to see the Vikings win that.
Yeah.
But anyway, what's your tip for this game?
I think England will win.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I mean, so I'll tip them. But, you know, come on, Sweden. What about you? You think Sweden will do it?
Well, I didn't even tip for the last game. I'll say Brazil for the last game. And I think, based on the last performance, I would say Sweden have the slight edge in this.
Yeah, but England are the luckiest team in the world, right? The luck of the English. That's what I want this pod to be called. The luck of the English.
I think
desperately fortunate all the way through this. They played Colombia. Colombia's best player isn't able to play.
I hope they don't play really slow tempo like they did in the last match, and the game's a bit more open.
The way to beat Sweden won't be playing that way. I mean, they'll need to use pace against them. It's in their own hands.
Okay.
So the last quarterfinal.
Yep.
Between the hosts, Russia, the little country that could, Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
Russia with one of the biggest upsets in international football for a long time,
drawing with Spain.
Well, yeah, but toppling them. I mean, everybody talks about the, you know, 1,029 passes or whatever it was that Spain managed against them, but didn't do much. I mean, Spain, honestly...
Well, if you get a draw in this in these rounds, you can go through.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. You don't. You just need to not lose,
yeah.
Right? I honestly thought Spain were terrible. It wasn't the incisive passing of old. It was completely useless passing. I did hear a stat that Isco made 133 passes and only 12 of them went forward or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. I mean, there were passages of play where Russia didn't touch the ball for 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But all Spain did was knock the ball side to side. Without creating space. You know, nobody was moving. So, I don't know. Mm.
They probably had as many chances as Spain. Like, the actual good chances.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they had any chances, really. But Spain didn't create any chances.
Mm.
Their goal was an own goal, you know. They were, for such domination, they were terrible. So, like, obviously...
That's the problem when you play that style of football.
Yeah, but it's... But it's... They are missing something from that style of football. It's not the style of football that they were playing 8 years ago. It's now...
But even then, every game they won was 1-0.
It was, but they had more...
And it was very sideways. It was backwards, in fact.
But I think when they were doing that, they were making the runs into space to make that... They move the ball side to side, but they're looking to move the other team around. Russia weren't. Russia stayed very compact and deep. But I don't think it was Russia's defending, to be honest with you. I don't think Russia have suddenly become this amazing defensive unit. I think it was actually that Spain weren't moving into the appropriate spaces. It was really only, I thought, when Iniesta came on that the passes started having a bit more urgency. And there was a bit more movement. I think Aspas came on as well. And there was a bit more about Spain at that point. Then they went out on penalties against the hosts. And it's the end of Spain's journey. Honestly, I don't have much to say about Russia from this game. I thought they were awful. And they're going to come up against a Croatia team that maybe didn't have their best game against Denmark.
Mm.
But I don't think that Croatia will tolerate.
They were the better team in the end in that game. There was two early goals, right?
Yeah.
But in the end, they had quite a few chances. And
And there was that incident in the second half in extra time when, was it Rebic? Beat the goalie, he was through on goal.
And the player didn't get sent off.
No, so the rule's been changed. So which is the double jeopardy rule or something.
Which is the worst decision I've ever seen in football. Like, why? I mean, the whole point in sending off the player is that he can miss. So you can basically cheat now.
And it's a free hit.
You can stop a goal going in. 100%
chance
and
to a 75% chance or you know, whatever.
So, It's basically rewarding cheating.
Yeah.
I don't know how that rule was ever passed without anyone talking about it. Like, seriously, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I mean, I have heard other options being discussed, a penalty goal or something like that. I mean...
But the same thing happened in the Sweden-Switzerland game and the guy was sent off. But I think it was outside the box.
Hmm.
But it looked like it was inside, though. And then it went to VAR.
Yeah.
So he was giving a penalty.
Yeah.
And went to VAR, but he'd already sent him off.
Right.
And then he put the free kick outside the box.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's an interesting one. Yeah, I don't recall that bit. Yeah, Croatia were a bit below themselves, to be honest, in that game.
That was what I was talking about, remember? The gods.
Yeah.
It didn't quite... They got through anyway.
They got through. So in terms of... I mean, I think they are the... Are they the favourites against Russia or are Russia the favourites?
Croatia, clear favourites.
Right. I mean... They ought to be based on football ability. I mean, Russia do have the host nation, the KGB, all that sort of thing in their favour. But I've been thinking about it now for a couple of days, and I'm warming to Croatia actually going through on this one. I think I'd like to see them. I'd love to see such a small nation get through.
Mm. The home team advantage though seems to be working for Russia at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I think I'll go with Croatia as well. I think they probably just have a bit too much quality.
Yeah. I mean, they have the best Swiss player playing for them. They have the best Croatian player playing for them. But yeah, so between Modric and Rakitic, I don't think they'll allow what Spain allowed to happen. Like they are a possession-based team as well. But I think that there's much more penetration with them. And I think Russia will...
What do you mean they have the best Swiss player playing for them?
Rakitic. He's actually Swiss.
What do you mean?
He was born and raised in Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's born to Croatian parents.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know that. I was looking him up today. Yeah, he started his career at Basel.
It could be an England-Russia semi-final.
Yeah, could be.
We could see thousands of English fans getting chased through the streets of Moscow.
Funnily enough,
Moscow.
Do you think the English fans, if they do lose a game, do you think they'll tidy up the stadium after them?
No.
So this is what the Japanese fans did.
Yeah, we always hear about these things.
I know, it's crazy, right? But
I'm sure it's been planted by the Japanese mafia, these stories in the media.
Well, they showed pictures of it.
Yeah, they did the same with the Senegalese fans earlier. They did it at the last World Cup, and now it's become like a meme thing.
Yeah. Well, good on them. I mean, it's better than hooliganism and going around and beating the shit out of dozens of people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the English fans have been, thankfully, on violence so far, for the most part, as far as I know. But maybe that will all kick off once...
If they meet Russia.
If they do go out. But, you know,
okay, so I think that's all our predictions for the quarterfinals. I think that might be a wrap.
I think it could be. I've enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
Thanks, Eamon.
So, thanks. And to our listeners, you can follow us on Twitter at Intfoot Podcast, and you can join our Facebook page, the International Football Podcast.
Give us some feedback.
Tell us
what you think.
Let us know what you think about our opinions. Do you think we've been a bit harsh on England? I'm sure you do. Do you think that Belgium could possibly get past Brazil?
It could be an all Tottenham final, Belgium versus England.
Let us know. And for now, it's over and out from myself, Eamon.
And me, Tom.